Praise God. Here this morning, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. It's so important that you turn and read and see for yourself in your own Bible what the Bible says. Now, we're not making up things. We're not preaching what isn't in the Bible. We're not preaching thoughts and imaginations. It's the Word of God. It's what God has given us in His own Bible. And that's what we want to deal with here this morning. We're continuing on this series of prayer. We started last week on prayer, and I want to continue here this morning on prayer. I'm going to read one simple verse. And in this message, I only want to deal with two simple words. You're going to say, that's very unusual for you, one verse and two words. Well, it may get expanded, but that is basically what I'm doing. Under that, I'm going to deal with an awful lot. But here this morning, my message is praying always. Reading in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always. That's where I get my title from. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What we have is all prayer, all perseverance, and for all the saints. Let's pray here this morning. Father, I do pray that you stir up faith in the hearts, a desire to pray, that we had realized we've been entrusted and given the opportunity for a short time within our lifetime to pray. In eternity, we're not going to pray. When we die, we're not going to pray. But my God, you've given us a very special treasure that we can affect our own lives, those around us, those of our family, those of our nation, and Lord God, those of the church of this generation. My God, waken us up to the reality of prayer. Waken us up to this wonderful opportunity, for this short window of opportunity that you have graced us with, that we might pray as we ought to pray. Lord God, help us this morning, Lord God, to open our eyes, to open our ears by your grace, that we might be encouraged and strengthened and have faith to pray always. Lord God, not occasionally, not just in a crisis. Lord God, not just when we need forgiveness, but my God, that prayer will become a way of life, a habit, O God, of every waking moment. Lord God, we need the spirit of prayer to pervade our lives, our families, and this church, that everything we do is going to be soaked in prayer. Lord God, that when we come to do things for you, that our actions are actually saturated with prayer. In the name of Jesus, bless your word here this morning to the edifying of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Reading again Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. My message here this morning is praying always. Last week, we dealt with on Sunday morning the prayer closet, that you need a prayer closet, a place you go to, a time you pray. If you don't have a place to pray and a time to pray, can I tell you this morning, you don't pray. You maybe murmur, or you maybe pray when you're in trouble, but you do not pray. Don't try to think that you pray, because when you're in trouble, you say, oh God, help me. That is not prayer. That can be a part of your prayer life, but if that's all you do, you're not a Christian, you don't know God, and the Spirit of God is not in you. If you only occasionally pray when the opportunity arises, you know nothing about the Christian life, because a real Christian is a man of prayer and a woman of prayer. It's more important than working, more important than eating, more important than talking with others. It's more important than anything in your life. Prayer becomes your life breath. Last week, as we dealt with it, there is a specific, regular, discipline time of prayer. A Christian will have a closet of prayer. But here this morning, I'm not dealing with a specific place. And I'm not dealing with a specific time in your daily or your weekly schedule. My message this morning, praying always, not infrequently, but praying always. This term, praying, means a drawing out of your heart. What is prayer? It's when your heart is drawn out towards God. Not in religious things, but your heart is drawn towards God in a focused way. And you begin to open up your heart and open up your desires before God to make known your requests before Him. That is prayer. When you audibly pour out your heart's desire before God. It's a moving of your heart towards God. Here this morning from this simple verse. No, let me condense it. I'm only going to deal with the first two words in this verse. Praying always. And I want to give you three things here this morning. Praying continually. Praying at the right time. And thirdly, praying until the answer comes. First of all, let me take you here to this word, praying always. And that's all I'm dealing with, is the word always, praying always. Saints, this is the mark of the Christian. This is a biblical command. This is a normal Christian life. And yet, almost nobody in the church believes you can pray continually, all the time. Now, very few even believe the promises of Scripture. They don't even believe it's realistic. And saints, if you don't have a closet of prayer, you're not going to pray always. If you can't even set apart an hour or 30 minutes or close the door in this world and say, now I'm going to pray, I assure you, forget what I'm saying here this morning. If you don't have a closet of prayer, then you're going to be a stranger to what I'm saying here this morning. Because if you have a closet of prayer, I promise you, you're going to find that prayer begins to pervade every area of your life, every moment of your day, every situation of your life. But first of all, this term praying always means praying continually at all times. I don't want you to think that praying always means every moment of the day you're praying or every second you're putting up prayers to God. That isn't praying always. That's unreal. We've got to live a normal life. We go to work. We have family. We have practical things to do. We have some very mundane things to do in life, boring things to do in life. But I assure you, you can still pray always. And here in this message, I want to explain what is praying always. What does it mean to pray always? This first point, praying continually at all times, is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle, a habit of life. Not that you go to a prayer meeting, not that you just pray first thing in the morning, but praying always means it becomes a part of your life. Every area of your life, every hour of your life, every situation of your life. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always. The apostle was saying, this is part of your Christian life, that you pray always. He was speaking to the church and he says, I want you to be praying always. This praying always is part of your spiritual armor. Do you realize it's not only your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, your shield of faith. That isn't only your armor, but praying always is a vital part of your armor. Do you realize this protects you from the devil? Do you realize the devil can't get to you when you put on praying always? Do you realize it quenches the attacks of the devil? It will prepare you for his attacks and it will save you from his hand. You see, prayer is a natural, spontaneous response to God. That's what praying continually is. Praying at all times. It's a spontaneous drawing out. When you think about God, you speak to Him. When a situation arises, you go straight to Him. It becomes a habit of your life. It's an awareness of God. If you're not aware of God, you don't speak to God. You know, I don't speak to people who aren't there. I hope you're like me. I hope I don't find you someday speaking to people like that man on the corner of the street. He was shouting. He was speaking. He spoke to the pillar box. Why? His mind isn't right. I want to show you my mind is right this morning. If you're not sitting in that seat, I'm not going to speak to you. I assure you, I'm not going to sit down with an empty seat and speak to nothing. When you become overwhelmingly conscious that God is real, that He sees all things, that He indwells you, that He walks with you, you want to speak to Him. You don't speak to someone who isn't there. And when you don't pray, and you don't pray always, and you don't pray continually, you don't believe in the God of the Bible. You don't believe He is in you. You don't believe He's with you. You don't believe He is in you. And you prove that because you're unaware of Him. You can go a day, 2 days, 3 days, you don't even speak to Him. You know why? You don't know the God of the Bible. Look at Ephesians 6 again in verse 16. And Paul writes and he says, I cease not to give thanks for you. Not only is he saying pray always, I want you, the church, and hear me this morning. I'm asking you this morning as the church, as LCC, I am asking you, pray always. But Paul didn't stop there. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you. What is giving thanks? It's prayer. Making mention of you in my prayers. Notice here, Paul says, you know, when I think about you, I'm always giving thanks for you. I do not cease to give thanks for you or to pray for you. The word cease there means to press the pause button. You know, when you press the pause button, everything stops. Well, Paul says, you know what? I don't cease to pray for you. I don't stop. I don't restrain it. I don't quit. I don't come to an end. I don't give up praying for you. I don't care if you're awkward. I don't care if you keep stumbling around. I don't care if you're not a good Christian. I'm going to keep praying for you. I will not cease praying for you. You see, that's what continual prayer is. I'm going to keep praying. Jesus, our Master, our Savior. In Luke 21 verse 36, listen to what he says. He says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass in our world and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus asked the disciples, watch therefore and pray always. This is Christ talking to his disciples. I want you to watch. Get your eyes open. I want you to be aware what's happening in the world. Things are coming on this world and on your generation. This generation, wicked things are coming. I want your eyes to be open. And Jesus said, I want you to pray always. So Christ is telling them, I want you to pray always. Don't say this isn't for you. It is for you this morning. Every one of you in this room, pray always. The prayer closet's for you and all prayer is for you. Jesus also in Luke 18, he said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end or this purpose or with this reason that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You're either going to pray or you're going to faint. You wonder why you're fainting spiritually. You wonder why you can't stand against sin. I'll tell you why. You want to know why the pressures of life are getting on top of you and crushing you into ground. I'll tell you, you're not praying. Oh, I'm praying. No, you're not. You see, prayer brings you to a place where you're not going to faint. So Jesus here, he actually says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. What's the cure to fainting? Pray always. Pray always. To pray continually at all times. Let me very quickly give you some of the scriptures in the Bible. Romans chapter 1 verse 9. Without ceasing I make mention of you always in all of my prayers. without ceasing. That means without interruption, without omission, without any gaps, without any weeks missing. I pray for you always without any interruption. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Continuing instant in prayer. In other words, I constantly am diligent. Do you know those who pray are those who work? Prayer is the work. You think it's hard to go out and dig holes for 9 hours, and I've done that before. I've gone out there and I've broken my back working. That's nothing compared to prayer. That's nothing. Prayer is the work. You have to show diligence. You have to give your strength to it. It says in Philippians 1 and 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. Colossians 1 and 13, or 3, we give thanks to God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10, I'm praying for you night and day. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. He's telling the church, pray without interruption. Don't give up in your prayer requests. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, we are bound. That means we're under an obligation. There is a must within me. I must pray. I must pray. I feel a sense of responsibility. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Or in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Saints, what I'm telling you is the New Testament in the church, all the apostles, Jesus Christ said, we're to pray always. It's a biblical teaching for you, for every Christian, for every disciple, for every member of the body of Christ. You are called to pray always. Your mind will say, you can't pray always. You can't, have you ever thought it? Have you ever heard this verse and say, but you can't practically do that? And I'm going to help you this morning to show you that you can. It's a command from Christ. It's a very practical thing. It doesn't actually mean that every second of every day you're praying. It doesn't mean that. But it means your heart throughout the day, you go, oh God, help me. Oh God, save me from temptation. Oh God, show me what to do in this. Oh God, lead me to the right job. That's all prayer. Lord, help me in this conversation with this person. Lord, help me to have wisdom today. That is all prayer. Saints, on this first point, praying continually at all times, it's a lifestyle. All of you know about Saint Patrick, though I don't call him Saint. It's Patrick. Like Paul in the Bible, he's called Paul. Barnabas, Peter. When they write their letters, they just put their name. Patrick was the same. When he wrote his letter, he wrote Patrick, a sinner, saved by the grace of God. That's how he talked about himself. Patrick, who brought the gospel to Ireland, was born about the year 390 AD. He grew up as a young man in a Christian family in the church up until he was 15. He had preachers and presbyters in the church who actually rebuked him for his sin and said, don't fall into sin, don't follow after drink, don't chase the girls. He actually grew up in that environment as a young man in Britain. And you know what? He actually tells us in his testimony, he was a rebel against God. He laughed at the rebukes. He didn't believe what the Bible said. He actually fell into sin at 15 years old and he lived his own way. He laughed at the things of God. He didn't listen to his mother or his father. His grandfather had been a preacher. His dad was actually a deacon in the church. But we're told when he was about 16, Irish slave traders went to Britain. They captured him amongst thousands of others, and they brought him back to the north of Ireland, to a place where he became a slave. He was sold as a slave to a farmer in County Antrim on the mountain of Slemish. History tells us that he spent the next 6 years on that mountain as a sheep herder, looking after the sheep. Listen to what he said. I'm talking about all prayer. And this is directly from his letter. Quote, now after I came to Ireland, Tending flocks was my only occupation. And constantly I used to pray. Notice, constantly I used to pray in the daytime. Love of God and fear of Him increased more and more, and faith grew, and my spirit was moved within me, so that in one day I would say as many as 100 prayers, and at night nearly as many, so that I used to stay out in the woods on the mountain for this very reason, or for this purpose. And before daybreak, before the sun came up, I used to be roused to prayer. In snow, in frost, in rain, and I felt no hurt whatsoever. I'm out there in the mountainside. Nor was there any sluggishness or laziness within me. As I now see, because then the Spirit of God was fervent within me. Saints, you want to know why Patrick changed the nation of Ireland and Ireland was converted to Christianity? It was because of a young praying man. A 15-year-old rebel became a slave and was a prisoner in Ireland for 6 years. But do you realize when he got to Ireland, he repented, he got born again, and for the next 6 years, he had no church to go to. He had no pastor, preacher. He had no Bible to read for 6 years. And yet in that 6 years, he became a man of prayer. You want to know why he changed this nation? You want to know why he set Ireland on fire? You want to know why revival came to Ireland? And in a period of 30 years, Ireland turned from paganism to Christianity and to Christ's work on the cross. It was because of a praying man. You see, that young man, out as a sheep herder, was saturated in prayer. He prayed at night. He prayed in the morning. He prayed through the day. He went on the mountain and there's snow on the ground. Didn't affect him. He just kept praying and his health didn't suffer. That's the first point with us. Praying continually at all times. Second of all, praying at the right time. I want you to understand what praying always means. Look again at this verse. Praying always. Let me explain the Greek word always here. You might say always means always. But let me explain the Greek. This English word always is made up of three Greek words. It took three Greek words to make this word always. Praying always. Let me explain this to you. The first word is dia. The second one is pass, and the third one is kerios. The first word, dia, means through you, to become a vessel or a channel. Now notice what I'm saying, praying always. It literally means that you as an individual become a vessel. You know what a drain pipe is? Water flows through it. All you are is a vessel, an instrument. You know, bring an electric into this building, this room this morning, are cables and wires. All they are is a vessel, an instrument. The electric flows through it. And do you know what the Bible is saying? That God looks for individuals. He looks for people, men and women, to become a vessel, a channel of prayer, a channel of God's blessing. Do you realize you become a vessel for God through prayer? If you pray, God can move through you. He wants the Holy Spirit to pray through you. He wants you to be a person of prayer. That's what a Christian is. If you live for yourself, you're selfish. If you don't pray, then you're proud. You're only thinking about yourself. You see, those who think of others pray. That's what the first word that makes always up means, to become a channel. The second word means pass. It means all, whole, everything, nothing excluded. When we come to pray, praying always, no area of your life is left out. Oh, I pray in church, but hey, I'm at home now. It's not excluded. Oh yes, I'll pray in the morning at home, but I'm at work now. I don't pray during work. When I'm cleaning the machines, I've got to do that. I can be praying. You know, when I mow the garden, every week. I love to mow the garden. You know why? I don't need to think about it. I mow it. I've got beautiful straight lines on my lawn, I assure you. Candace always says, how do you do that? I says, I'm not telling you. It's a secret. But you know, all the time I'm mowing, I'm praying, I'm thinking, I'm preaching to myself. Where does some of these sermons come out of? Me mowing my garden. As I'm mowing, I'm throwing my fist up. I'm thinking, I'm praying. I'm saying, oh God, speak to me. I'm praying for people in this room. I'm doing it as I'm mowing the lawn. Saints, that is all prayer. It covers every area of your life. When you drive in your car, when you walk down the street, when you're with people in a room, you can be in prayer. It affects everything. Don't exclude or put prayer in an hour's prayer meeting. Don't do that. Don't squeeze prayer into a crisis or a problem in your life. Let me go a bit further with this. The third word, kairos, is, it means a certain set season of time. Kairos, it's a Greek word. It means a certain set season of time. In the Greek language, there's two words for time. There's chronos. That's the two words for time. Chronos refers to chronological time. It's your clock, your calendar. It's the minutes, the hours, the days of the week. That is chronos. But that's not what we're talking about here. That isn't all prayer. It's this other word, kairos. And I want you to listen very carefully here to me for a few moments. When Jesus says praying always, when the Apostle Paul says praying always, this is what it means. What does it mean praying always? Praying kairos. Listen, it means a limited period of time, a season of time, a period of opportunity that won't always be there. It means a window of opportunity that one day is going to close. It is the right time. When you're given an opportunity, it's a certain set occasion. It's a specific period or moment of time. And it involves, listen, it involves a set of circumstance, people, opportunities that will not always exist or be there. It is a limited time in which you pray. Always praying means here is an opportunity. If you don't pray, it'll be too late in a year's time. If you don't pray now for this person or this situation or for this time period, it'll be too late in 5 years' time. Your prayers in 5 years' time will never affect this situation or this person. You have a opportunity. This word means the best time. The best time to do something. The best time to pray. It is a moment when circumstances are right. It's the suitable time to pray. The ripe time to pray. It's a fit time to pray. It's a good opportunity to pray. It's the right time, the convenient time, an appointed time. Saints, this praying always means a set of events, situations, an era. And if you don't pray then, you've lost the opportunity. Let me explain this a bit further. Always praying means you become a channel, a vessel of prayer. Prayer is flowing through you for in every type of situation, in every condition, in every season of life. Whether it be a crisis or an opportunity or a limited time to do something, to pray for certain people and a certain set of circumstance. Let me give you examples in your life. You mothers that have kids, if you don't pray now, forget about it in 20 years' time. Oh yes, you can pray for them in 20 years' time. But if you don't pray now, this year, you have a season when they're growing up, you can profoundly affect them. In 20 years' time, you'll have lost an opportunity. Saints, you have an opportunity with your child. They won't always be a child. They may not always listen to you. There's lots of kids in this city won't listen to mommy and daddy. They could care less about mommy and daddy. They curse their parents. We're hearing stories of children cursing their mother. Their mother's a good lady. And they literally curse her. They swear at her. That mother prayed too late, I can assure you. The opportunity was missed in that life. Do you realize you have a short opportunity with your kids? The door is open. You can pray now. You can say, oh God, give me wisdom to raise them. Oh God, show me. Show me what to do to save them from this world. Show me how to lead them into a life of walking with you. Or what about a crisis in a friend's life or your own life? A crisis comes. It's time to pray for your friend. You can't delay a month. You can't delay 3 months. You've got to pray now. There's a crisis. The Bible is actually filled with this type of praying always. Abraham intercedes for Sodom. You're not going to tell God, come back next week. You're not going to say, oh God, I'm too busy at the moment. Come and move on my heart to pray for Sodom at some other time. Do you realize two angels had already departed to go to Sodom to get Lot out? And the third angel of the Lord is walking with Abraham. There were three angels. Two have gone to destroy the city. The third is with Abraham. And Abraham is saying, Lord, will you not destroy the city if there's 50? I won't destroy the city if there's 50 righteous. Lord, what about if there's 40? Don't destroy the city. Do you realize if Abraham had not prayed then, it would have been too late the next day or the next week or the next month. All he had was a short opportunity to pray. And I believe you get those opportunities all the time. If you don't pray, you see, you can have an opportunity to pray. If you didn't then, oh yes, you can get right with God in the future. You can pray in the future, but you'll never have that opportunity again. A certain set of circumstance, a certain person, a certain opportunity. It's gone forever. Do you realize us sitting in this room like this right now? We may never, exactly like this, gather like this again. God may be speaking to you. And if you don't hear him this morning, you may never come back to this place again. I sat with a young man 4 months ago, and I sat and I warned him 3 times. I warn you, I knew it was from the Lord, you will never come back to this same position. You're going to make a decision today that's going to affect your entire future. I warned him 3 times, and he said, yeah. And I said, listen to me, I'm going to say it again. You are going to make a decision today that's going to affect your entire destiny, eternally, as well as on this earth, in all your relationships. And again, he said, yeah. Are you going to leave? And a third time I said it. You know why? I knew this moment of time will never be here again. It's an opportunity. What about Solomon's prayer? For wisdom, the Lord comes and said, what do you want? What do you want from me? You better be careful you give the right answer. That's an opportunity to pray. It won't be there in the morning. You're going to have to decide now. What is your heart towards God? Here in this meeting, you go, another sermon, another Sunday, another service, another preaching. Do you realize you could miss something where God is saying, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do in your life? And you've just slept through it. You've just droned through it. Going, man, it doesn't mean anything to me. What about Elijah praying for fire? That fire better come. That answer prayer has to come on that moment, at that time, or he's in trouble. What about Daniel? In his prayer, he was a politician in his day and generation. He was very gifted, very able. In fact, he knew everything about science. The Bible says he was very knowledgeable in science. And it actually says there that a command was given in the empire. Nobody is allowed to pray for the next month. If you're seen praying to any god in any name for the next month, you're going to die. In fact, you'll get thrown in a den full of lions. You're going to be fed to the lions if you pray, if you're seen praying. Daniel's an important politician. Do you know what he does? He didn't pray in secret. He went up to his room at the same hour, into his closet, the same place. He had a prayer closet. He had a time to pray. Do you know what he done? He threw open the windows and he prayed towards Jerusalem. And you know what? He said, I'm going to make a public stand. Let them throw me to the lions. Let them burn me. Let them cut me in half. I don't care. But you know what? I am going to pray. I'm going to pray always. Do you pray when your life is under threat? Do you pray when someone might mock you and laugh at you? Do you pray over your food? Well, I wouldn't do that. Why? I'd be embarrassed. And the Bible says you're ashamed of the Lord, he'll be ashamed of you. You'll go, Lord, Lord, yeah, I knew you. I always knew you were real. I always believed in you. Who are you? Who are you? Sure, you didn't have a prayer life. You never talked to me. You never prayed when you ought to pray. So you're scared of people laughing at you. That's all you thought about me. Do you know, I was walking down the street with my wife Candace. And someone comes up and starts talking to me, a good friend, and says, so who's this? Oh, I don't know who she is. She's just someone. I can imagine her jaw dropping. And as soon as that guy walks away, I would hate to look at her face. Her eyes would be burning with fire, saying, what? You were ashamed to say, I'm your wife. And yet Christians do it all the time. Who's he? I don't know who he is. Didn't Peter do it? Denied him 3 times? I don't know him. Yeah. Your accent's a Galilean accent. I'm sure I've seen you with Jesus. I don't know him. And then with curses, blasphemies, he said, I swear I don't know him. Then his heart smote him. Isn't that in our flesh? Isn't it in our flesh? Hannah prayed for a child at the right time. Nehemiah, after 3 months of secret prayer, private prayer, he was soaked in prayer for 3 months. But you know what? He's there working for the leader of an entire Persian empire. And he comes in, he's sad. He's sad in his heart. And the emperor says, what's wrong with you? You're sad. What's going on? You know what the Bible says? Just quietly in his heart, he said, oh God, help me. I've got to give the right answer. Do you know what? It's going to affect Israel. It's going to affect the nation. It's going to affect everything. It's going to affect world history. And there he prays a private, quiet prayer. Here he is in front of the emperor of the Persian Empire. And he said, oh God, help me. Do you know what that is? Praying always, that you're there and you say a little prayer. Oh God, help me. That's praying always. Don't think it's praying every second. It's your heart rising up. But let me finish with this. Praying until the answer comes. That's what it says in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. You don't give up. You don't stop. You don't faint. You don't lose heart. You don't get discouraged. You keep strong in faith. You keep praying. You hold on to God until the answer comes. You will not let go of God until he answers. Do you remember in Genesis 32 how Jacob wrestled with the Lord? And as daylight approached, he's wrestling all night long. And the angel of the Lord says, let me go. He says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You see, that's prayer. That's real prayer. What is praying always? I'm not letting go of God until he blesses me. Even when God says, let me go. Let me go. No way. I've got you. God, I want your blessing. God, I want you to change me. God, I want you to save me. God, I need you to heal me. God, I need you to speak to me. It's all silence. God, I'm going to hold on to you and pray until you speak to me. There's silence. You don't hear anything. Oh, God, I'm not going to let go of you. That's praying always. Pray until God answers. Or what about Daniel again? We're actually told he set himself to pray for 21 days. Prayed the first day, no answer. Second day, third day, fourth day. He was fasting. He didn't take milky, sugary milkshakes. He put aside the nice meats and the sugary food. And for 21 days he humbled himself and he prayed. There's no answer, so he kept praying. On the 21st day, the angel Gabriel comes from heaven and appears before him. And he said, the very first day you prayed, sure, I was sent from the Lord. I was sent with an answer. 21 days you think nothing's happening. God's not hearing me. Nothing's happening. I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. Do you know why most of you don't get answers to prayer? Do you know why? You don't pray always. You get to day 20 and go, this is useless. I've done everything. Why didn't God answer? He did. It's just you don't wait long enough. You know what happens? Gabriel turns up and he says, here I am. Where are they? Looks under the... Goes, man, I was sent with the answer. Sure, they've gone. They've gone. They've got discouraged. They've given up. They said, this is hopeless. Sure, God isn't answering prayer. Really? Don't you realize what praying always was? Let me finish with this. George Mueller, you know, the German who looked after all the young children. He was born in 1805. As a young man, he was a drunkard, a heavy drinker. At every opportunity, he was drunk. He was useless, good for nothing. He was a gambler. While his mother lay dying on her deathbed, do you know what he done? He took money out from under her bed, stole it, and he went out, I think it was with an Irish girl, for an immoral sexual night. And that's what sort of young man he was. He was lazy. He was wasteful. He was proud. He was selfish. He was all of these things. But listen, he went to a prayer meeting, a small prayer meeting with a handful of people one night. And in that prayer meeting, as he walked in, there was a man kneeling at a seat praying. It changed his whole life. He got born again in that prayer meeting. He never touched drink again. He was saved. He was changed by the power of God. In his later life, he looked after 10,000 orphans personally. He built 5 big homes, cared for all of them until they grew up and could go out to work. He educated 122,000 children who would have had no education. He distributed 250,000 Bibles. In 1875, at the age of 70, he started to travel the world preaching. He went to, think about this, a 70-year-old man. He went to 42 countries in 17 years, and he covered 200,000 miles, and he said 30,000 people were converted through prayer. Do you realize the secret to George Mueller was he was a man of prayer? A great preacher one day went to visit him, said, I want to see the great man of prayer, the man with great faith. I want to pray with him. So he went to his house, and he got invited in. George Mueller said, will we pray? He says, yes, let's pray. And they got down on their knees together, and George Mueller just spoke a very, he didn't get emotional, he didn't get loud, and he wasn't long. He prayed a simple prayer, said amen, and got up and said, the answer's about to come. The great preacher was disappointed, A.T. Pearson from America, he was utterly disappointed. He went, George Mueller's famous, and he prays like a child. He prays simply. He prays shortly. He prays precisely. And it's over. No emotion. No fireworks. No explosion. He just stands up and says, God's going to answer before the hour's out. He said he was devastated until a knock came to the door and food was being provided for those orphans. Do you realize all through the years, George Mueller, he never made his needs known. Never requested money. All he'd done was pray, and he provided for all of those students. But let me close with this. And this is from his diary. In November 1844, he says, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether I was sick or I was in health. On the land or on the sea, whatever the pressures of my engagements might be, I continue to pray every single day for these 5 people. 18 months after beginning to pray, the first one got converted. He said, I thank God, and I continued praying for the others. Then 18 months passed by before another one was converted. And he said, I thank God, and I continued praying. Then 5 years passed by, and he said, the next one was converted. He said, I thank God, and I continued praying on every single day. And I continued to pray for them until 6 years had passed before the next one was converted. He said, I thank God for them, but I kept praying for the last one who hadn't been converted. Do you realize It was not until 1898, when he died, that the last man got converted. He had prayed 54 years for 5 friends to get saved. And he kept praying until that last one came in, even though it was after his death. Do you know what that is? That is praying always. Saints, praying always is, I'm going to pray until the answer comes. If you ever give up praying, you've given up too soon. But praying always is also when that opportunity arises that's only there for a short time. You pray now because tomorrow could be too late. And praying always is, you fill your entire life. Take prayer into your workplace. Take it into university. Take it into your home. Take it everywhere. Take it to your children. This is praying always. And this is why Jesus Christ himself said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Either you're going to faint or you're going to pray. Since we must have a prayer closet, a time to pray, a place to pray. But beyond that, we need to put on as the armor of God, praying always. I'm going to pray when the opportunity comes. I'm going to pray because tomorrow, next year, 10 years down the road is going to be too late. And you will regret that you never prayed. If you don't pray for yourself now, tomorrow will be too late. Please stand with me. Lord Jesus.